From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, starter from news, news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news versus the headlines. President judges WIA construction practice as best in Indonesia. Government plans further assistance program for MSMEs. Now the news in details. President Joko Widodo has vociferous in acclaiming the construction process of the Yogyakarta International Airport in Kulon Progo District, deeming it the best construction practice in Indonesia. Jokowi made the statement at the inauguration of the airport and the opening of Indonesia's AirNav Tower and the Tsunami Early Warning System in Kulon Progo District, Yogyakarta, on Friday, August 28. He thanks to state-owned construction firm PT Pembangunan Perumahan and state-owned airport operator AP1. During the early process of construction, Jokowi had called on the Yogyakarta governor to share the burden of the development process. To this end, the governor agreed to handle the land release process, project monitoring, and architectural design of the airport. Chairman of the National Economic Recovery and Transformation Task Force, Budi Gunadi Sadikin, in Jakarta on Friday, August 28, noted that the government plans to continue assistance for small and medium micro entrepreneurs to overcome the COVID-19 pandemic. Budi admitted that the government has distributed 2.4 trillion rupiah as assistance for micro entrepreneurs for 1 week. Totally, the government has budgeted 22 trillion rupiah for 9 million micro entrepreneurs in Indonesia to drive Indonesia's economy in the third quarter.
Dengan mereka masuk, didata sebagai pengusaha mikro, didaftarkan di Kementerian UMKM, masuk ke sistem perbankan.
They are classified as micro entrepreneurs and being registered with the Ministry of Cooperative and Small Medium Enterprises, Kemenko UKM. And then entering the banking system, banks can see the business of the micro entrepreneurs. It has not been touched and has not been seen by Indonesian banks. Those bankers are constantly looking for customers naturally. They will see that currently there are about 15 million potential new micro entrepreneurs that the government can provide bank credit to. The government with the coordinating ministry for the small and medium enterprises realized that by doing this program as the first step, giving a grant of 2.4 million to a potential 15 million micro entrepreneurs. The government opens the opportunity to continue to the second phase of the program, where the government can provide micro business soft loans. So, the government has planned to discuss it with the Ministry of Cooperatives and Small Enterprises and have discussed it with the Coordinating Ministry for the Economy, and the government will carry out two follow-up programs to be able to provide micro-business soft credit programs to MSMEs entrepreneurs, which the government previously gave a grant of 2.4 million earlier. In the last few weeks, Budi Gunadi Sadikin stated that the disbursement of aid funds by the government is big enough. He said in the social protection sector, the government has disbursed additional assistance of 7 trillion rupiah, while in the MSME sector, additional assistance has reached 11.2 trillion rupiah. Budi hopes that this assistance will not only be short terms, but also long terms in order to build fundamental economic changes. Minister of Technology Research, head of the National Innovation Research Agency, Bambang Brojonegoro in Jakarta on Friday, August 28 encouraged the development of scientific research that can accommodate the progress and challenges of the times. Speaking after attending the Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI, Sarwono Prawiroharjo Memorial Lecture 20, Bambang explained that all research institutions in Indonesia must be able to adapt to the times. Apart from being supported by strong basic research, Bambang said, the current progress demands the birth of innovation, which must also adopt the fourth industrial revolution 4.0, especially digital transformation.
Jadi mau tidak mau, semua lembaga riset harus terus melakukan transformasi secara internal,
so, like it or not, all research institutions must continuously carry out transformation internally and also keep on of the very dynamic developments in the science and technology. If we look at the history of the development of science, those who are in front of it are always those who are the inventors of something. Furthermore, Bambang also explained that the needs for research in the field of science has an important meaning in creating the progress of civilization. To create a better community life, Bambang also encouraged all research institutions to participate in facilitating researchers to innovate in the field of science. It is expected that this innovation will bring about changes that have a direct impact on society. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe has announced his resignation for health reasons. As stated by BBC.com August 28, Prime Minister Abe said he did not want his illness to get in the way of decision-making and apologized to the Japanese people for failing to complete his terms in office. The 65-year-old has suffered for many years from ulcerative colitis, an inflammatory bowel disease, but he said his condition had worsened recently. Last year, he becomes Japan's longest-serving prime minister. His current period in office began in 2012. He will remain in his post until his successor is chosen. In 2007, he resigned abruptly from an earlier term as prime minister because of his struggles with ulcerative colitis, a chronic condition that he has lived with since he was a teenager. Abe has a reputation as a staunch conservative and nationalist and for stimulating growth with his aggressive economic policy known as Abenomics. People will again be encouraged to go back to their workplaces as part of a government campaign starting next week. As stated by BBC.com, August 28, employers will be asked to reassure staff it is safe to return by highlighting measures taken to prevent the spread of COVID-19. Business leaders have warned of damage being done to city centers as people stay away from offices. Transport Secretary Grant Shapps said some things were impossible to do remotely, but Health Secretary Matt Hancock said he cared more about how employees performed than where they were working. Ministers in Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland are still advising people to work from home if possible. The campaign, which will launch as most schools in England and Wales reopened, will predominantly be promoted through regional media. Wealthier countries that joins the World Health Organization's COVID-19 vaccine plan are being offered a new option to pick and choose which shot they get while reserving a right to receive their full share of doses, documents seen by Reuters shows. The change appears aimed at convincing governments which have negotiated their own bilateral deals securing experimental vaccine to also sign up for the global COVAX facilities by Monday's deadlines for submitting expressions of interest. As stated by Reuters.com August 28, the United States, Japan, Britain, and the European Union have struck their own deals to secure millions of COVID-19 vaccine doses for their citizens, ignoring the WHO warnings that vaccine nationalism will squeeze supplies. The WHO did not respond to a request for comment. Reuters could not determine if the documents were the final offer. The documents with the new terms and condition was dated August 5th. The back-to-back presidential nominating conventions that concluded with Donald Trump's speech on Thursday showed both sides intend to fight for the sliver of independent and moderate voters that will decide the election, each with a widely different strategy in the final sprint to November 3rd. As stated by Reuters.com, August 28, a self-styled showman, Trump, used all of his reality show talents during the Republican convention this week to try to win back supporters alienated by his handling of the coronavirus pandemic, with a dire warning of a lawless America if his Democratic rival Joe Biden takes power. They illustrated the Republican strategy for the next 2 months, changed the subject from a pandemic that has killed 180,000 Americans and shackled the U.S. economy, and blamed Democrats for the violence on the streets. Republicans largely abandoned talks of the health crisis, after it had abated, in favor of reminding voters of the robust economy that existed beforehand. During the Democratic convention the previous week, Biden put the focus on holding Trump accountable for his action during the outbreak. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
The commemoration of the 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence 2020
is themed Indonesia Maju, or Onwards Indonesia. Representing the Pancasila, our state and nation life guidance, which was perfected by logo that says, "Proud of Indonesian products," as efforts to nurture people's love for national products.
The anniversary logo looks like the shield of Garuda Pancasila with onwards in the nature beneath it, symbolizing economic equality and growth for Indonesian people and also the real progress of the effort to present the best for people of Indonesia.
Happy 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news from across the countries. Today, first information comes from Yogyakarta, where Indonesian military commander Marshal Hadi Cahyanto inaugurated the Gatot Kaca N-250 airplane monument at the Mandala Air Force Central Museum. Adi Sucipto Airfield, Yogyakarta, Wednesday afternoon. In his remarks, Hadi Cahyanto said the N-250 aircraft is a proof of the greatness and love of Indonesian for their country and for advances in sciences and technology. Hadi said the placement of the N-250 Gatot Kaca at the Mandala Air Force Central Museum was aimed at capturing one of Indonesia's best works in the development of aviation technology. According to him, this inauguration is also an appreciation to B.J. Habibie as the father of the Indonesian technology who has contributed to making Indonesia proud through his works, including the Gatotkaca N250 airplane. Next news comes from Malang, East Java. One of the leading tourist destinations in East Java, Mount Bromo, was reopened to tourists on August 28, 2020, in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic or COVID-19. The head of Bromo Tengger Semeru National Park, Senator John Kennedy, last Tuesday in Malang said that the opening of the Mount Bromo tour was carried out in stages after obtaining approval from the Minister of Environment and Forestry. He explained, tourists who will visit Mount Bromo must strictly adhere to health protocols in an effort to minimize the potential spread of COVID-19. The tourist area of Mount Bromo has begun to close due to the COVID-19 pandemic since March 19, 2020. The closure is one of the steps to anticipate the spread of the coronavirus, especially in tourist destination areas. Latest news comes from the Bangka Belitung Island. The governor of Bangka Belitung Island, Erzaldi Rosman Johan, visited the Bukit Mantan Indah or BMI agritourism destination in Paritiga, West Bangka Regency on Monday. This agritourism destination utilizes extant mining land to become economically valuable land that can grow the community's economy amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Erzaldi Rosman hopes that efforts to develop BMI agritourism destination can generate interest in the community to use unproductive land to become land that has economic value. BMI manager Nur Aida Delia said that BMI's agritourism is one of the new tourist destination on 100 hectares of unproductive land. According to Nur Aida, this destination is very good for educating visitors, especially children. Listener, that was news from across the country. I'm Nuko Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
I am Mahmud Erkulic, Ambassador of Turkey to Indonesia. I would like to say happy 75th Independence Day to the people of Indonesia. May the relationship between brotherly Turkey and Indonesia get stronger and provide benefits to the people of both countries. Thank you.
Our regular program Today in History starts from an event on August 29, 1945, the anniversary of Indonesian House of Representatives. A day after proclamation of Indonesian Independence Day on August 18, 1945, Indonesian Independence Preparatory Committee determined the 1945 Constitution of the Republic of Indonesia. Starting from the time, the implementation of the state is based on provisions of the Constitution 1945. In accordance with transitional rules, on August 29, 1945, the Central Indonesian National Committee with 137 members was established. The committee was recognized as candidates of the Legislative Council in Indonesia. Then August 29, 1945, was determined as the day of the House of Representatives of the Republic of Indonesia. The next event is that in 1949, Soviet Union conducted a nuclear bomb test. On August 29, 1949, Soviet Union secretly conducted the first nuclear bomb test. Since that time, the nuclear bomb was not dominated by the United States of America solely. Balance which occurred in competition of nuclear weapons between the United States of America and Russia was named as terrible equality. Then the United States of America and Soviet Union entered into a propaganda war. The war was called the Cold War. The war which took place between West and East Bloc lasted until Soviet Union broke up in 1991. The last event is that in 2005, Katrina hurricane happened. The Katrina hurricane became one of the deadliest natural disasters in the history of the United States of America. Hit by Katrina on August 29, 2005, Louisiana and Florida panhandle devastated. Louisiana and Mississippi became the worst. 80% of New Orleans City was covered by flood after flood protection embankments collapsed. Thousands of buildings were badly damaged and the death toll reached 1,800 people. 1 million people had to be evacuated. At the time, the emergency status was imposed. And listener, that's today in history.
The 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence with the team Indonesia Onward. Happy 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence.
Cahaya bulan di malamku hadir.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that we'll present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today, entitled Asian Economic Minister Support Independent Certification. The Indonesian Minister of Trade, Agus Suparmanto, along with other ministers who are members of the Asian Free Trade Area AFTA Council, welcomed the independent certification as the newest trade facilitation scheme that will soon be implemented in Asia. There are the results of the 34th AFTA Council meeting, which was held virtually on Tuesday. The meeting was part as a series of the 52nd Asian Economic Ministers meetings. Agus Suparmanto, in his statement Wednesday, said the first protocol to amend Asian Trade in Goods Agreement for Asian-wide self-certification, or often called independent certification, will be effective on September 20, 2020. As the name implies, the facilitation scheme will make it easier for producers and sellers who are certified exporters to make a statement of origin independently. It is possible because this latest scheme cuts the bureaucracy of issuing certificates of origin for certified exporters. According to Agus Suparmanto, this facilitation will have a positive impact on increasing Indonesia's export to Asian countries. To reduce technical barriers to trade in the automotive sector, Asian economic ministers have agreed to sign an agreement on mutual recognition of types of automotive products just in Asian countries. Agus Suparmanto said Indonesia was ready to sign the agreement before the end of 2020. This was based on the awareness of the great benefits that automotive exporters in Asia would receive, especially Indonesia. The agreement will eliminate repetitions of producers for testing types of automotive products in export destination countries. The Asian economic ministers also agreed to sign other agreements before the end of 2020, namely, on mutual recognition of types of buildings and reconstruction material products, the Asian Food Safety Regulatory Framework Agreement, and a revision of the 1998 Asian Framework Agreement on Mutual Recognition Arrangements. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Ingin jumpa, percaya.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Arari was office Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to Indonesian wonder. Today we are going to take you to Sumedang to visit a fort built by the Dutch during World War I or around 1914 until 1917, and it has inaugurated in 1918. This old fort is located in Sumedang area, not far from the downtown of Sumedang, about 200 meters from the Sumedang Square. Precisely, it is located in Kota Kulon Village, South Sumedang District, Sumedang Regency, West Java Province. This fort stands on Mount Panjunan, but people are more familiar with this place as Gunung Kunci. It is because at the entrance to the fort, there is a symbol of a cross key. The name of Gunung Kunci is because of its location on a hill in the middle of Sumedang City. The area of this fort is approximately 2,600 meters square, with a bunker area of approximately 450 meters square. The fort consists of three floors, including rooms for soldiers, officers, and prisoners. All is covered with 1 meter thick concrete. In some rooms, there are tables, chairs, and beds. All of them are also made of concrete. There is also a hallway that has a length of approximately 200 meters and has a link between the room and the artificial caves in it. Design, which is circular and standing on a higher ground in the middle of Sumedang City, made it easier for the Dutch to spot any suspicious movements or signs of an imminent attack. The cannons in this fort were mounted in a circle following the design of the Gunung Kunci Fort. By paying a fee of 3,000 rupiah for adults and 2,000 rupiah for kids at the entrance post for Gunung Kunci Natural Tourism, you can directly enter this high place through a permanently hardened path. There are also public facilities such as toilets and stalls. Listeners, if you are a lover of historical tourism, take time to visit Sumedang City in West Java Province, because besides being able to see the historical heritage of Gunung Kunci from the top of the hill, you can also see Sumedang City with its beautiful scenery, high pine trees, and cool air which gives its own wonders. That was Indonesian Wonder for today from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
I am Ziya Zarifin, the head of the Syrian Arab Republic Embassy in Jakarta. I would like to say happy 75th Independence Day to the people of Indonesia. May the relationships between the two countries, Syria and Indonesia, get better and provide the benefits to the people of the two countries. Dirgahayu Republic of Indonesia, Yanka Tujulima.
Kau yang jawab.
Well, listener, here is Miss Eleni that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, the video game industry is growing rapidly from year to year. A number of video games were contested and became a sport that gave rise to the term electronic sports or e-sport, which is played via electronic media. Currently, video games that are included in the e-sport category are growing rapidly and are quite promising for players or gamers. Because it has been in a competition, the opportunity to excel can be achieved if you are serious as a professional athlete. The Indonesian government seems to have been literate about this. At the end of August 2020, e-sport was inaugurated as a sport by the government. The Ministry of Youth and Sports and the Indonesian National Sports Committee or KONI officially recognize e-sport as an accomplished sport in Indonesia. In a written statement, the recognition of e-sport as a sport was established at the Central KONI 2020 Working National Meeting or RAKERNAS virtually from 25th until 27th of August 2020. In that meeting, the Indonesian government officially approved the Indonesian Esport Executive Board or PBSE as the only official government body that oversees esport as an achievement sport in Indonesia under KONI. PBSE, through its Instagram account, confirmed that after the inauguration, PBSE would move and focus on finding superior players in this sport. The recognition of esport as a sport indicates that this sport can be competed in official national level competitions such as the National Sports Week or PON, because it uses human power in the form of speed, agility, and strategy like in other sports. The entry of esport into the KONI members is appropriate because many Indonesian esport players have made Indonesia proud in many international esport championships. Even some Indonesian players are contracted by esport clubs in Europe to participate in prestigious international tournaments. Listener, that was Miss Eleni for today. See you on the next edition.
Jatuh cinta, aku tak mudah untuk jatuh hati. Tapi mengapa kini kau tinggalkan aku? Kau memilih dia. Ku bersumpah atas nama cinta, aku tak rela kini kau telah jadi miliknya. Ku jaga kesetiaan cinta, tapi kini kau kembali. kecewakan, hatiku terluka. Engkau yang menyakiti aku, engkau yang lukai hatiku. Tapi kini engkau telah jauh dariku, meski hati ingin dekat. Ku bersumpah atas nama cinta, aku tak rela kini kau telah jadi miliknya. Ku jaga kesetiaan cinta, tapi kini kau kecewakan, hatiku terluka. Cause you let me down. Ku jaga kesetiaan cinta, tapi kini kau kecewakan. Telah jadi miliknya, ku jaga kesetiaan cinta, tapi kini kau kecewakan, hatiku terluka.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner, about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World. Welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, we are going to present a keroncong song entitled Sejak Kita Berpisah. This keroncong song tells about someone who separates with her lover. After the separation, her heart is empty and hurt. She is always teary-eyed if remembering all sweet memories when she was with him. She wishes her lover to come back to her. The song is a slow tempo, and flute rhythm makes the song melodious. Listener, here is Mamik Marsudi with the keroncong song Sejak Kita Berpisah.
Sampai kita berpisahan, hatiku tak tenang. Lelap sana surya silam waktu
listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safira Adela. See you on the next English program.